supposed to open your Bible, please, Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Before I get started, there's a couple of things that I want to do this morning, and so that we'll get started in the lesson. We'll just stay with the lesson. So I've got some preliminaries I want to get out of the way. We taught through the book of Revelation starting in March of 2007 and went through May of 2008. And I gave out during that time a outline of a study outline that I'd written for that study. I've got one copy of that here, and this is what we gave out. Now, I'm going to be making reference to this outline. You do not need to bring this outline in, but I'm not sure I'll make a reference to it today. I won't get that far, I don't think, today. But during the course of this study, I'm going to be making reference to some aspects of that on certain pages of that. Because of that, I wanted to make it available and outline to those that are new to the class here that did not receive a copy of that. I wanted to try to make that available to you. So if you're in here, I know we've got three or four or five families that were not here starting in March of 07 and going through May of 08. And if you were not here and you'd like to have a copy of that, I'd like to give you one. Now, these are not the same. I had to do these on my own. This is the last one of these that there is, and this one belongs to my wife. And so I'm going to get in trouble if I give this one away. I actually gave hers away. I gave her the very first copy of it. And then I had somebody that wanted one. So I said, "Tricia, do you mind if I give yours away?" And she didn't answer, so I took that as yes. But anyway, I gave hers away, and then I found this one. So this is going to be hers, and that's the only one there is. But for those that are new that haven't been here, I made some copies of it up. And also, if you folks would like to have a copy, I know we've got several folks that were not here. I don't think you folks were here then. And you folks, were here and right there. So we have one for family. Is that the only ones here that did not get a copy of the original one?
Brother Steve,
there's
been as many as you,
wouldn't
be right. I'll teach it again.
Amen. Yes. Believe me, I would enjoy it. It's an ongoing thing and all. But at any rate, during the course of this study, I don't know how long we're going to be going with this thing, folks. We're going to go 3 to 6 weeks, however long it takes. It's ongoing for me. I also want to say that it is my intent, right now it's only in outline form as far as what I'm going to teach. It's my intent to put this in written form so that it can be a supplement to the outline of the book of Revelation. So at some point in time, now don't pressure me now with this time limit thing and all, but at some point in time after we finish this study, like I said, this is an ongoing thing. I'm continuing to add to the outline that I've done. And once I finish teaching this, it's my intent to write this then and make it available as a kind of a supplement to the Revelation outline that we've handed out. So, all right, Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, America in the End Times. America in the End Times is the title of the study we're starting this morning. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "And I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Folks, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1 is the rapture of the church. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. The Bible says there, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written which no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1 is the rapture of the church. Revelation chapter 19, the verses that we've just read, are verses that reveal to us the time when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back to the earth after the rapture. And of course, this is the description there of the events at the Battle of Armageddon that will take place at the end of the tribulation period. Folks, I bring both of those portions of Scripture out because what I'm concerned about in this study is where is America going to be in that 7-year period. Now, I want to know that. I've always wanted to know that. And it's been something that I've studied over the years for a lot of years. And I've just over the years, I've been undecided exactly where America fits into the scheme of things during that time. I want to make a statement of belief. Here's where I stand on America in the end times. And we're going to spend whatever time we spend here, the 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 5 weeks or 6 weeks, whatever it is, we're going to spend that time, and I'm going to share with you why I believe what I'm about to give you as my statement of faith on this particular subject. And here's what I believe. Here's where I believe America stands during the end times. There's three thoughts or three aspects of this statement of belief. Number one, America will exist as a world power and as a friend of Israel until the rapture. I believe that's the way it'll be. Number two, after the rapture, America will fall overnight. When I use the word overnight, I'm not using it as a literal 24-hour day, but I am using it as a very brief and rapid decline and fall. Number three, America will be aligned with a coalition of the beast, the Antichrist, during the tribulation time. Now, that is the basis for this series of studies. I believe that America will exist as a world power and a friend of Israel until the rapture. Could I expound on that for just a moment? I believe that current events make it a bad time to be teaching that particular thought. I'm saying on one hand that I believe that America will exist as a world power and a friend of Israel until the rapture of the church. On the other hand, there's some good reasons why I shouldn't be teaching that right now. Our economy is in a shambles. I am one of those that would not have been surprised and still would not be surprised if we have a total economic collapse in America. I believe that that's how grave a situation our economy is in. Also, our dependence on foreign oil leaves us open to international blackmail. Folks, if the oil-producing countries were to get together right now and decide to cut production a significant amount and drive the price of oil, let's say to where you and I were paying $10 a gallon for gasoline, I believe that that could result in an overall economic collapse in America. Also, we have a president right now who's making a mad dash, it looks like, towards socialism that would destroy our free market economy, and in so doing, of course, that economic collapse would take place. Now, from current events, it's not a real good time for me to be saying that I believe America will exist as a world power and a friend of Israel until the rapture, but I do believe that that's what's going to take place. Now, the balance of this series will be spent telling you why I believe these things and showing you from the Word of God what my basis is for this. Folks, I do not have any pretense in my mind here that I'm not saying to you folks this morning that I have some kind of a knowledge of this that nobody else has. I'm also not saying that I have the final word, that you've got to agree with everything I said. That's ridiculous. There's a lot of things we studied through the book of Revelation. There's a lot of positions that I take on that, of course, I know good people have a difference of opinion on, and I respect that, and I accept that. I am telling you that I've came to the place in my own heart and mind that I'm persuaded and convinced that this is the way events are going to play out. And I guess in eternity we'll find out whether I'm right or wrong about this. So with that thought in mind, We'll begin our thought this morning. Please keep in mind also that the scope is going to be pretty wide here. There are some areas that I am intentionally going to be expanding. I'm not keeping a real close focus here. There's some things that are going to apply to these thoughts that I'm going to be pursuing as we go through this study. And so I'll be bringing out some statistical information or what have you that I believe are relevant to the study that we have. I do not believe, here's my first point in this study, I do not believe it provable that America is directly referred to in prophetic scripture. Now, did you understand the thought? I did not say that America is not mentioned in prophetic scripture. I don't think I'm knowledgeable enough to make that statement. However, I have came to the place that I do not believe that it's provable that America is directly relate or directly mentioned in prophetic scripture. I taught 52 lessons in the book of Revelation here in this classroom from March the 25th. Our first one was on March the 25th, 2007. The last one was on May the 4th, 2008. And during that time, I evaded all questions about America in the tribulation period. So that's the only thing I can say that I did a good job on. I evaded the question the whole time. For all 52 lessons, I evaded that. And it wasn't because I wasn't interested. It wasn't because I wasn't studying. It's because over the years, I'm talking about going back for 25 plus years, this has been a topic that I've been interested in, but I've just never been able to come to the place in my own heart and mind that I was convinced enough to say, okay, here's exactly where I stand, here's exactly what I believe. After studying the issue afresh and anew, with a view of finding America directly mentioned in prophecy, I've concluded that it is not. I do not believe that anyone with any authority could point to any particular place in the Word of God and make a declarative statement and say, this is America in the tribulation period. Now, folks, there's a lot of different views out there, and I'm going to stop short of saying that I've read them all, but I've read most of them. There's a lot of different views. Some of those views are, well, all of them are unprovable. Some of them are even ridiculous. But let me just share just three or four with you. There's one view that says America is Babylon the Great that's recorded for us in Revelation chapter 18 and 19. That's one of the ones that in my heart and mind I put under the area of the ridiculous. I don't think there's any question at all that America is not Babylon the Great revealed to us in Revelation chapter 18 and 19. Another view is that America is the unnamed nation that's mentioned in Isaiah chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. However, a close look at Isaiah chapters 18, 19, and 20 links that unnamed nation with the Cushites, which was a combination of nations in that day that included Egypt and some others. Egypt, Ethiopia, and some other nations. I do not believe that America is the unnamed nation in Isaiah chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. Another view is that America is the 10 lost tribes of Israel. Wow. The 10 lost tribes of Israel. Just because I don't know where the 10 tribes are doesn't mean they're lost, folks. God knows all about it. And I don't believe that America is the 10 lost tribes of Israel. This last view is the one that I'll mention. If I were to accept any of these, this last one is the one I would accept. The last view that I'll share, and by the way, I know there are dozens, scores of views that you folks, many of you have read them in some of your minds right now. Some of you are thinking about a view that you've read in a certain book from a certain commentary by good people. I'm not talking about wackos this morning. I'm talking about good people. Some of you have read some views in your heart and mind right now. You're wondering about that. Well, I may have read that one too. I just chose not to put them all down here this morning. And all. America is, another view is that America is the young lions of Tarshish that's mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 38. I do refer to this, and I told you I wouldn't get there this morning. I lied already this morning. I do mention this on page 58 of our book on Revelation. In verse 58, it says down from the top of the page there, it says, according to Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 13, the other nations protest this action but are able to accomplish nothing. I guess the United Nations will still be alive and well during the tribulation period. This is looking at one of the battles, the major battles in the tribulation period. Ezekiel chapter 38 is in verse 13 is making a reference to the nations that are identified as the young lions of Tarshish. Folks, there's three major views, and I don't even have this written down. I didn't even intend to mention it, but now I'm going to. There's three major views on where this Tarshish is. One of those views that does have some credibility, but I lack convincing on it. One of those views is that this is specifically referring to the region that includes Great Britain. And if that were the case, then it may well be that America is one of those nations that's referred to in Ezekiel chapter 38 as the young lions of Tarshish. I'm persuaded that if America is mentioned specifically in Scripture, prophetic Scripture, I believe that America is included in those nations, the young lions of Tarshish, in Ezekiel chapter 38. I don't believe that that's provable. But however, in my opinion, for what it's worth, that and a dollar and something to get you a cup of coffee, you know, and all. But anyway, if it is mentioned, I'm persuaded that Ezekiel 38 is where America is mentioned in the tribulation period. Now, there's a lot of unprovable things about America. A lot of unprovable theories about where America fits into prophetic Scripture. I do not believe that you can prove that America is directly referenced in prophetic Scripture. One of my problems over all the years in studying this is that I studied with a premise that turns out, I believe, to not be correct. My premise was that a prominent nation like America has to be directly referenced in prophetic Scripture. In my study over the years, I had that preconceived idea. I poured through the Word of God. I eagerly read what everybody said about America in the last days. And in my heart and mind, I'm thinking, it's got to be here. America has to be specifically mentioned in prophetic Scripture. I'm to the place in my life that I believe that it's unprovable exactly where America may be mentioned in prophetic Scripture. Number two. I headed this under a general heading, and this is not a balanced outline that I'm giving to you folks and all. But under number two, the heading is what we can know. Now, folks, I've shared with you what we can't know, I'm convinced. I'm convinced we can't know exactly for an absolute fact where America is mentioned in prophetic Scripture. What can we know? And that's the important issue, isn't it? What can we know from the Word of God? Remember, in the Bible, God doesn't reveal to us all He knows. God reveals to us all He wants us to know. And also, I'm persuaded, all that we really need to know to perform as we ought to perform for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can we know about this subject from the Word of God? First of all, under this heading, I believe that we can know that Israel will be a nation up to and after the rapture. Now, folks, this is important. Almost everything I'm going to say in this study concerning America in the last days ties in with the nation of Israel. We can know from the Word of God that Israel will be a nation up to and after the rapture. This is positively and clearly taught in the Word of God throughout the book of Revelation. The Bible talks about it. The book of Revelation reveals, and other portions of prophetic scripture, Daniel and Ezekiel and Isaiah and all over the minor prophets. The Bible mentions the fact that Israel will exist after the rapture of the church. The Bible specifically says that there's going to be a covenant made between the Antichrist and Israel. And there's a lot of events that take place early and in the middle and late in the tribulation period that relate undeniably to the nation of Israel. Israel is going to exist as a nation up until the rapture and after the rapture and all the way to the end of the tribulation period. And then in eternity, Israel is going to still exist. Israel is going to exist as a nation all the way through this thing, and there's no question at all about that. Now, I mentioned that because I wanted to bring up this next point. Israel cannot exist without America. Wow. Israel cannot exist without America. Folks, I'm humanly speaking here, of course, and you folks understand that. God is God. And God can do anything that He wants to. God could destroy America today and raise up another nation, a strong and powerful nation, to be a friend of Israel tomorrow. Does everybody understand that I'm acknowledging that? But also understand that I'm presenting this from the way things God has allowed things to be right now, and that has been this way for a long number of years, many decades. Israel cannot exist. Israel is going to be a nation up until the rapture and after the rapture and right on into eternity. Israel cannot exist without America. I want to give some historical information here as we begin this thought. America was the first to recognize Israel as a nation when Israel became a nation on May the 14th, 1948. When Israel was declared a nation in 1948, Israel was immediately attacked from all sides by Egypt, Jordan, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and Saudi Arabia. The result was that Israel expanded its territory from 5,000 square miles to 8,000 square miles. Sounds like a sweeping victory for those goofballs to me, you know. America has supported Israel in every war since then. Remember, I'm trying to bring out a point. Israel cannot exist without America. You folks, bear with me. We're going to tie it all together as we go through. I'm not sure how long it's going to take to do it, but we're going to do it to the best of our ability. On October the 29th, 1956, the Suez War took place between Egypt and Israel. Egyptian leader Gamal Abdel Nasser, you remember Nasser, many of you do very well. Nasser nationalized the Suez Canal. Israel invaded the Sinai Peninsula and took control of it. Later, they gave it back, unfortunately. But America supported Israel during that time. Could I add a thought here, and this will remain true. Please keep this in your mind on every one of these things I mention. What is said publicly in situations of war is often completely opposite to what takes place behind the scenes. Even for Israel's benefit, many times America has made statements publicly saying, well, Israel needs to show restraint, and Israel needs to do this, and Israel needs to do that. And all the while, behind the scenes, we've been saying, do you need any more bullets? Could we send you any more bombs over there? and all. So folks, you keep in mind that America has been the friend of Israel in every war that has taken place since Israel became a nation in 1948. In 1964, the PLO was formed with a dual purpose of creating a Palestinian state and destroying the nation of Israel. America supported Israel. In 1967, June 5 through 10 to be specific, the Six-Day War took place. The nations of Egypt and Jordan and Syria decided that they had had enough of Israel and that they were going to destroy Israel once and for all. Well, didn't work well for them. Israel captured the Sinai Peninsula from Egypt. They took the West Bank from Jordan. They took the Golan Heights from Syria. They seized control of Jerusalem, and America supported Israel through it all. Could I give you a little fun facts here about that? I love this stuff. I love this stuff. In 1967, Israel had a standing army of about 75,000 men. Israel had approximately 1,000 battle tanks. Israel had about 175 jet fighters. Hey, guess where they got all that stuff? Yes. Yeah, you guessed it. We gave most of it to them. That's right. The armies of Egypt, Jordan, and Syria, they had 900 combat aircraft. Israel, remember how many they had? They had 100 and... How many did I tell you? They had 175. The combined Arab armies had 5,000 tanks. Israel had 1,000. The combined armies had 500,000 soldiers. Israel had 75,000. Folks, God fought for Israel during that time. God fought for Israel during that time. The nations were squabbling back and forth, and there was all these negotiations going on. And right in the middle of all those negotiations, Israel attacked. When Israel attacked, they totally destroyed the Egyptian Air Force while it was still on the ground. There was a three-front ground battle that began, and shortly, in just a matter of 2 or 3 days' time, Israel broke through on all fronts. The Jordanian army and the Syrian army and the Egyptian army were all routed, and in 6 days, it was all over. In 6 days, it was all over. Israel expanded her territory again. Folks, the Arab countries haven't done very well when they've attacked Israel. God has fought for them. From a human point of view, America supported Israel during that war. In 1973, it was October the 6th, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the Yom Kippur War began. It was on the Day of Atonement, the most holy day for the Jewish people. Israel was attacked by Egypt and Syria. After heavy fighting, Israel repelled the invaders. America supported Israel again. In 1982 through 1985, there was the war with Lebanon. Of course, you remember, some of you will remember that. Israel pushed into Lebanon and occupied parts of Lebanon for several years there. America supported Israel. In 1987, there was the first Palestinian intifada or uprising in Gaza. This ended in 1993. It went from 87 to 93. It ended with the signing of the Oslo Accords, brokered by the United States. America supported Israel. In 1991, in January, the first Gulf War took place under George H.W. Bush, the daddy. Can you remember? I do. Can you remember the newscast? Can you remember the newscast that showed American soldiers manning the Patriot anti-missile batteries that were stationed around Israel to keep the Scud missiles from coming, being fired in and making it into the Israeli cities. Guess what? It was America. It was America that supported Israel. In 2000, the second Palestinian uprising took place, in which for the first time in great numbers, the Palestinians employed suicide bombers. It was America that supported Israel. In 2003, in March, the second Gulf War invasion of Iraq took place and is still ongoing. Of course, this war is under the direction of George W. Bush the Younger, and America did and is supporting Israel. In 2006, open war between Israel, Hamas, and Hezbollah took place, and America supported Israel. It's 2009 now, and folks, I'm glad to report to you that at least as of this day, America supports Israel. Folks, Israel is going to be a nation until the rapture and beyond. Israel cannot exist in the world today without the United States of America. America has indeed been a friend of Israel. America far surpasses all other nations in support of Israel. Could I give you some statistics? Our economic and military aid each year to Israel is somewhere in the area of $3 to $4 billion. Since 1973, America's aid to Israel has equaled $1.6 trillion. If you broke that down for every person living in the United States of America, that's $5,700 for every person that lives in America. 12% of all American foreign aid goes to Israel. American aid makes up 8% of the total Israeli national budget. The United States shares with Israel the best, the most advanced, and sophisticated military equipment that we have, things that we share with no other nation on the face of the earth. America supports Israel. By the way, could I just stop here for just a moment? All of this aid to Israel stuff has resulted in something. Islamic nations hate us because of our support of Israel. I respond to that by saying, so what? So what? America supports Israel. America is indeed, folks, stay with me. We're going in a direction and all, and we're going to tie it all together as the Lord allows us to. America is indeed the lone military superpower in the world today, and the presence of Big Brother America assures Israel's security. Folks, don't you think for one second that every Arab nation on the face of the earth would attack Israel today if they could do it without the United States coming to the aid of Israel? Because that is the absolute truth. America's power, America's status today as the lone military superpower. And you say, Brother Kirkpatrick, do you believe that America is today the lone military superpower on the face of the earth? Yes, I do. I believe that the statistics and the facts bear that out. America is today, in spite of all, America is today the lone military superpower on the face of the earth. Well, let me give you some statistics on that. Now, I told you I was going to be a little broad in my application, and this is one of those places where I get a little broad and all. If you go online or wherever you want to go and look at, pull up statistics on world military might, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find that as a ranking as far as military powers, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right on down the line. You're going to find that the United States is number 1 today. I'm talking about today. United States is number 1. China is number 2. Russia is number 3. India is number 4. The United Kingdom, Great Britain, is number 5. And I'm going to skip down to number 11 because Israel is rated as the 11th most powerful military in the world today. That shouldn't come as a surprise. If you look at world military budgets, the United States, some of you, if you've been paying attention, you've heard it on the news just in the last week, in the last 4 or 5 days. Some of you may have heard it this morning. I didn't hear it this morning, but I've heard it myself in the last week or 10 days. America's military budget for 2009 is $700 billion. That's quite a lot of money. I'm not sure how much money that is. I can't really fathom $700 billion. But anyway, America's military budget is $700 billion. China's military budget is $122 billion. Russia's military budget is $70 billion. And when you get to France and Japan and Great Britain and Germany and all these, their military budgets are something under that of Russia at $70 billion. Folks, did you realize that America spends 45% of all the money that's spent on military things in the world? 45% of all the money spent in the world on military things is spent by the United States of America. We're going to stop there. Israel exists as a nation, and Israel can only exist as a nation because of the presence of the United States of America. We'll begin our thoughts here next time, the Lord willing, and continue on.